Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity and sin. We all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're off.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Send it. You're on the internet. You read something wretched. Send it to idea@wretched.org. And if you'd like to speak it, you may do so courtesy of the texter or the voicemail. You can call 877-282-2337. Leave a voicemail if you just want to use your thumbs. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Kyla. Todd, am I to believe that God's sovereignty even extends to one's body composition? That would mean that God is sovereign over weight loss. Correct?
That was the end of you that email, didn't you?
Maybe I did a little bit, but I don't remember. But that was the gist of the question.
Is that God is whether you lose weight or not?
Right.
Of course. And whether you gain weight and whether it's muscle or fat. He's sovereign over all. And I mean everything. Nothing escapes his attention. You and I tend to... We think the world is about as big as what we can see at the moment. He sees everything, and he doesn't just see everything that we see. He sees everything we don't see. Every molecule that makes up everything that your eyes can actually process, he sees that too. All of it, every single molecule is underneath his sovereign control, and that has to do with your weight gain or your weight loss. You can do everything you want. You can cut back your calories to 400 a day if you want to. And if the Lord doesn't want you to lose weight, you won't. And this, by the way, should be an encouragement for you if you are afraid to fly. You say, what does weight loss have to do with flying? If you are terrified of flying, remember that God is in charge of weight loss. That means he's in charge of the airplane. He's in charge of the air that floats over the wings to keep you up in the air. He's in charge of whether or not that plane lands or doesn't land, which means you should not have a fear of flying, because if God wants you dead today, you're going to die. You don't have to go into an airplane to crash. He can get you on the ground. I have to confess to you, that was one of them. When the Lord saved me, boy, did he change a lot of stuff. And this was one of them. I was afraid to fly. When I would go to the airport, my first stop, after going through the scanning business, back then you didn't have to take off your shoes and belt and be humiliated. My next stop would be the bar. I had to have a drink or two or three. And even then, sometimes I wouldn't get on the plane. I had a fear of flying. When God saved me, it was instantaneous that he removed that fear from me. And what did it was the knowledge of sovereignty. He's running everything. So he's already determined my death date. Okay. So if I am so delusional that I somehow have this spidey sense that God is going to crash this airplane, so I'm not getting on. So instead, I'm going to take the train. If he wants me dead, he'll get me on the train. He'll get me on a plane. He'll get me on an automobile. He's already determined it. You can't escape it. Do you do foolish things? Of course not. But I think these days, I think we can agree, flying isn't a foolish thing. It is a safe thing to do as a rule. So knowing that God is sovereign over weight gain or weight loss should allow you to fly. Just kind of wondering what AI might do with that sentence right there. The AI is an incredible thing. But I'm telling you, We better start getting ready for the AI business. It's amazing. I think still it's a tool. I don't think AI can be like one of these sci-fi movies where computers take over and we discover on some planet there's some computer behind a curtain that's been pulling all of the strings. Because all you need to do to put an end to AI is unplug it. The end. We're still in charge. I'm not terrified of it from that perspective, but I do think that Tucker Carlson is always on about this. How is this going to impact human flourishing? We've got to be thoughtful about this. It doesn't mean that we automatically reject any advancements, technological, industrial, and we don't say no to them because it might affect people's jobs, but we should at least consider it so that perhaps we can make some adjustments so that people aren't damaged and they're as whole as possible, even as we go about the business of rightly and biblically subduing the planet. Let's at least be talking about it. And I think we're going to be talking about it more. Yeah. It's going to displace people. It is.
Well, and I think there's a smart way to look at it. Obviously, there are people fearful that jobs are going to be affected. And it's true, they will be in some segments in some areas. But there will also be other areas where thousands
It'll
more
grow.
Are created. Yeah.
Look, we've seen that already. And I get that. My question is that transition period, what's going to happen to folks? And are we at least having the conversations so that, let's say that there's an industry that AI is going to impact, whatever industry you want. It's like, whoa, they're really going to, all right, Hollywood. All right, there's a lot of people out there that work. And there's a lot of people with jobs that do things that AI can presumably do. All right, everybody in Hollywood, if you're listening, you need to know your job is probably going to disappear. It's going to take about 2 years. Might want to think about what you're doing for the next 24 months. That's all. Just so that people can start to think about it, be aware of it, and prepare for it. And I don't even know if we've got enough information at this point to determine which people groups will be displaced the most. I don't know. I guess maybe some smart people do, but I don't know. But we should at least be talking about it, because advancements are good once the transition is. You and I don't think about factories. But they did a couple hundred years ago when the Industrial Revolution began, give or take 1780. People were like, what do you mean dad's leaving the house to go to work? We just take all of that stuff for granted, but it didn't happen immediately. And the same thing will be true with AI. It happened with technology. Smith Corona typewriters, they're not making them anymore. Those people had to get jobs elsewhere. There were transitions. All I'm saying is, let's be talking about it. And you can send those thoughts to idea@wretched.org or the texter/voicemail 877-282-2337.
So when you flew,
yeah.
Were you a white knuckler?
What do you mean?
Holding on to the side of the seat?
No, but every bump, man.
Yeah.
Woo!
I can imagine.
Just, you're irrational. God save me. He just ended that immediately. But it wasn't just a bibbidi-bobbidi-boo mystical thing that he did to me. It was truth. Oh, he's controlling he's already, so he's the one who decided the day I was going to be born. He decided that. Furthermore, he's decided the dash and everything in between until that last day. It's already set in stone. I can't escape it. I don't do foolhardy things to expedite it. It doesn't mean I take bad risks. That's tempting God. We saw Jesus deal with that in the wilderness. No, we don't tempt God. Yeah, he'll take care of me, but don't do foolish things and tempt your God. So knowing sovereignty, it should be a game changer for you. Everything is under his sovereign control, and we can deal with the issue of theodicy. We can deal with the issue of evil. He's ordaining it all, which means that there is a purpose behind everything, and you're in it. You're in it, Christian. You are in the thick of the narrative that God is writing for his singular purpose of bringing glory to himself through the redemptive work of his Son. You are a part of it. The only issue for us, it's not, are we going to be in God's cosmic drama, but what role am I going to play? Am I even going to be aware of it? And am I going to read the script that tells me how to play my part rightly? The doctrine of sovereignty, game changer idea at wretched.org.
Yeah, I like, you've mentioned, I keep going back to this, but you've mentioned it before, that God created us and he placed us at this time.
Yep.
In America, well, at this place, at this time, for a specific purpose.
Yeah, but it's purpose. Mm-hmm. It's not purposes. Your purposes aren't, what are you going to do today at work? How many miles are you going to put on the car? Are you going to help a little old lady across the street? That's not God's purpose for your life. God's purpose for your life is to bring glory to him. And you do that as you live your life. You don't somehow have a multitude of purposes. You've got one overarching goal, and it is the same goal that God has for the universe, to bring glory to himself through the redemptive work of his son. Christian, you're a player on his stage. This is Wretched Radio. So, you're not convinced of the importance of training men to rightly divide the word of truth and fill pulpits internationally? Fine. Then we'll let Paul Washer convince you.
It is so important, not just important, it's absolutely essential to have a trained expositor of the scripture in every church. When we read through the book of Acts, we can see that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, advances as the word of God advances.
Would you please consider joining the Master's Academy International in filling empty pulpits with men who can exposit the scriptures and advance the kingdom of God? It's a magnificent ministry with a generational impact. Please learn more about supporting TMAI at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor for the Master's Academy International.
All right, folks, gather around, listen up, because if you're looking to get transformed and save some serious money, and let's be honest, who isn't these days with Bidenflation making everything so ridiculously high? Well, you've stumbled upon the sale of the century at the Wretched Store. We bundled just about everything we could find to save you some money. First up, we've got the Transformed Bundle, Seasons 1 through 3. Originally priced at $134.94, we've slashed that to $49.99. Or how about the Road Trip to Truth Bundle, Seasons 1 to 4, originally priced at $179.92, now just $49.99. And the grand finale of it all, the Wretched Worldview Bundle, Seasons 1 and 2, originally priced at $89.96, now just $29.99. That's right, binge watch all your favorite resources for a fraction of the price. Head over to the Wretched Store right now at wretched.org and grab up these bundles before someone else does. And let's face it, missing out would be a real tragedy.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 270 AD. A wealthy young man named Antony gives away his possessions and begins life as a hermit. Disciples follow his example, and the first monastic movement began. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Note to self, create verbal memes. This is Wretched Radio, the doctrine of sovereignty. It is a game changer. I'm writing a book on that subject. I've actually written the book. I actually sent off the first four chapters already for editing. That's a bit of an anxious time when the editor gets the first look at it and you get to see all the edits that get made. Be delivering 10 more chapters and then about 5 more chapters so that it can be produced next year. And the subject is God's sovereignty, that Jesus Christ is Lord over all. And all is a Greek word that means all, everything. It is a game changer when we recognize that God has one purpose for the planet. And Jimmy, I'm going to have to create some memes.
Okay.
Because this is how the media thing works. You got to have some of those statements that are like, oh, that was pithy. That was punchy and powerful and alliterated. I got to come up with some of those.
Profound.
But dualism is alive and well in our hearts, even in Christian hearts, is it not? Here's how you know that you are being a Greek philosophical dualist. You have a secular job. That's it. You think you've got a secular job, as opposed to somebody who has a religious job. There is no secular in God's kingdom. Everything is sacred. Everything is about him. There are not two floors to reality. There's not this side, that side. There's not good and evil and light and darkness and faith and reality. It's all under his sovereignty. So I got to come up with some pithy memes for that.
Okay.
So, you know, for the sending out the stuff on the social media. I don't want to get all technical on you, but we'll need that stuff. I've got my job to do, and so do you. You can send things, pithy or otherwise, to idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text that came from Anonymous. Todd, I believe I'm called as a missionary to a certain country, but my wife does not want to go to or live in that particular place. So is she to submit to me as the spiritual leader of our home, or do I submit to my wife in regard to her concerns?
Absolutely. Next email, please. Okay. That's it. This was a question, interestingly, that came up when Dr. John Krotz was in studio. Can't wait for you to start hearing John Krotz's integrated podcast, Not Ready Yet, where he deals with this very same subject that I've been talking about, connecting reality to Christianity. Reality is Christianity. Christianity is reality. And he does a bang-up job with that. He delivered 10 micro-lectures in studio about being a gracious gentleman, a godly man, be like our Savior, basically. And one of the questions that I asked him was about whether or not a husband who has the authority to make the tough and the big calls, should he do that when the missus says no? And I have to confess, I was kind of biting my nails on it. Jimmy, do you remember a fellow sent, he was living, if I recall, on the West Coast. And it was, I think it was up in Portlandia. And he had a job offer in the South. And it's like, ooh, Bible Belt, better paying job. And then going to the South. What a great opportunity for the family. And the missus was like, not interested. Hmm. I want to stay here and be with the family. I don't want to go. What should I do? So I answered that question. That fellow sent that same question to Transform's email, and Greg answered it. And because I listen to his podcast every week, I'm like, oh boy, what's he going to say? Thankfully, he got it right.
Okay. He didn't have to call him.
Yeah. And then John, I asked the question of John Krotz, and John said the same thing. On those big things, you need to serve your wife. And John's phrase was, put a pause on it. Just put a pause on it. And just don't try to manipulate, and don't try to force the issue. But you can bring it up. You can talk about it. You can try to address the concerns as lovingly as you can. But when you're talking about something major like moving to a different country, I think that the call of a pastor and the two keys to determining if you're called to be a pastor, I think would apply to being a missionary. There's an internal and an external call. The inside, I got to become a pastor. But then the external is your church says, yeah, we think so too. We think you've got the gifts and the skills. So there's an internal and an external. Now, let's apply that to this fellow's situation. He thinks that he's called to be a missionary in a foreign country. And he feels that externally, there's somebody saying no. Now, it's not that he's not gifted or able to do the activity, but it could be an external piece that just is not in place that makes it a wise decision. And I think that would apply to this fellow's situation. Just put it on pause. I wouldn't say give up on it, but if your wife doesn't want to move to a foreign country for whatever reasons, then our job as husbands is to nurture and to care and to delight in our wives. We want them happy, even if it comes at the expense of our happiness, because that's what marriage is about. That's what Christianity is about, living for the other. And that is why I have to do a shout out to you. If you are young and you are seeking a spouse and you're compromising because it's difficult to find a spouse these days, and the guy or the gal that you're dating you think is kind of Christian, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't become unequally yoked. And here's why. A pagan will never understand what marriage is. Marriage is self-sacrifice. Marriage, by every single guy or gal who's not a believer, thinks that marriage is about making them happy, themselves happy, that the spouse exists to do everything that makes their day. And if they're not a Christian, they're never going to understand, you got that totally wrong. You want a path to happiness? Here it is. Self-sacrifice, nurture, love, cherish, submit, depending on the gender that we're talking about here. Do those things. You're going to have a happy home overall. You will have a happier home overall. But the purpose of marriage is not happiness. The purpose of marriage is to bring glory to God through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. What does that look like? Well, it looks like our Savior. How did he live? Did he come to be served? No, he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom to the point of death unto a cross. That's what marriage is. And both parties play that role. And if you're thinking about pursuing somebody who's not a believer, get ready for misery. Because you're going to both play your little parts, like just always on your best behavior. Well, then you're going to be inside of the same home. And sin is going to start coming out. And if the other person is not a believer, then guess what? You're no longer a good spouse because you don't do absolutely everything that makes me totally thrilled. And then you start, let's just say, you start expressing the other person's. So you're a believer. You've made a very big mistake and you married an unbeliever. And suddenly that unbeliever is not being responsible. That unbeliever is still acting like he or she is in a frat or a sorority. Now you say to that person, I think maybe it's time to give up those things and start focusing on the family. That's kind of catchy, Jimmy. Guess what you're going to get in response? Get off my back. Quit nagging. Don't keep trying to ruin my fun. Why? Because they're in marriage for self. It is only the believer who understands that marriage is for the other. You want misery? Get unequally yoked. Marry an unbeliever. Otherwise, take your time. Find a believer. If not, your spouse is going to be making decisions that'll make you miserable. And by the way, the gender dynamic goes both ways. If the wife wants to do something and the husband doesn't, then you give it up. You just give it up. Cross that bridge now. Even if you've been married for 20, 30 years, just cross that bridge right now. Whatever my desires are, if it's not the desire of my spouse, I'm done with my desire. Just make that decision. And you can start simple. Start with food. Start with meals. Start with little things around the house. how the carpet is vacuumed, whatever your little picadillo is, just give it up. Where you go on vacation, you can start to step it up. Where do you want to go on vacation, dear? What's your preference, honey? Start just living for the other, and you see if your house doesn't change radically. It will. It will. I it was Lou Priolo. Miss Lou. It was Lou Priolo who said, now this goes both ways, by the way. There is not a woman in her right mind who wouldn't follow a man who is acting like Jesus. She'd literally have to be nuts to not follow a guy like that, and vice versa. There is not a man in the world, unless he's cuckoo, who wouldn't love and cherish a woman who respects and honors him. Play your role. And in order to do that, you need to be equally yoked. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, in a move that's going to revolutionize air travel as we know it, the Greater Toronto Airports Authority is on the hunt for a new director. But forget about the trivial qualifications like, I don't know, actually knowing how to run an airport? Not at the Greater Toronto Airport Authority. No, they're looking for someone with a, quote, deep and abiding commitment to advancing reconciliation, equity, diversity, inclusion, and accessibility in all forms. But wait, there's more. This paragon of progressivism must also, quote, believe intrinsically in the importance of leading with curiosity and welcoming ideas that can later be synthesized and turned into possibilities. I have no idea what I just said. It's just word salad for progressive ridiculousness. And in other news, the Democratic National Convention is in full swing, and CNN has cracked the code on the Democrats' grand strategy to win over the ever-elusive girly man. Apparently, the party is putting forward male figures who can speak to men who might not be the, quote, testosterone-laden, gun-toting type of guy who wants to listen to Hulk Hogan. What's wrong with Hulk Hogan, brother? But hey, have no fear if you're a manly man in America. The DNC has not forgotten about you either. They've got Tim Walz, who's so rugged that he wears camo hats and probably eats raw eggs for breakfast. Okay, so in a twist that's shocking absolutely no one, a Swiss court has ruled that parents must hand over documents enabling their teenage daughter's legal sex change. The parents who have been separated for their daughter for over a year because they objected to her receiving puberty blockers are understandably upset and distraught. But hey, don't worry. Court knows best, doesn't it? And in a bit of irony, 10 people were added to Chicago's homicide list recently outside the Democratic National Convention. Now, before you start thinking Chicago's crime rate has reached new heights, no. These weren't your run-of-the-mill homicides. These were state-sanctioned Democratic National Convention-approved terminations, courtesy of Planned Parenthood. That's right, folks. While politicians inside were busy talking about reproductive rights and reproductive freedom, an oxymoron in itself, 10 helpless lives were being snuffed out just outside. But hey, at least they're consistent in their messaging, huh? Finally, in a story that sounds like it was ripped straight from the pages of a dystopian novel, 7 Christian pro-life activists, including an 89-year-old survivor of a communist prison camp, are now facing over a decade in prison. Their crime? Peacefully demonstrating outside of an abortion clinic. That nothing screams land of the free more than threatening grandma with jail time for exercising her First Amendment rights. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Exodus is a story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you love seeing kids get saved, you're going to love this. This is Wretched Radio. Tomorrow clubs in Eastern Europe and in Africa. Local kids Bible studies. Weekly Bible studies in far-flung places. Kids are getting saved. Parents are getting saved. churches are getting populated, and you've heard me talk about Tomorrow Clubs for years. I think I've been talking about Tomorrow Clubs pushing 20 years now, because I've been there. I've seen what they do and how villages get changed when the gospel invades it through the children. Tomorrow Clubs, outstanding ministry, and it is super efficient. It's $1 a kid per month. Not kidding, $1 a kid per month. And right now, they have a matching gift campaign. So if you've heard me yammering on about Tomorrow Clubs for a long time, and you have not yet pulled the trigger to support them financially, now would be a good time, matching gift. So in other words, not only is it normally a good deal to support Tomorrow Clubs, this is like a super good deal because of the matching gift campaign. You can learn more and become a ministry partner of the Tomorrow Clubs at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Jimmy, you should see what's going on. They are in Africa, Eastern Europe. They have an average of about 30 kids that come to each of the clubs in Ukraine and Georgia and Moldova. Africa, it's like 150 kids. Wow. Just descend weekly. And they teach them the Bible rightly. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Then you can send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
Hey, Todd.
Hey. Oh, here it comes. Yeah, Jimmy.
When does a joke become a dad joke?
Oh, Jimmy.
When it's fully grown, G-R-O-A-N, grown, when it's fully, because you groan every time you hear one. I thought that would come off better. Look at your face. I wish people could see you right now.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Todd.
Did you hear about the soldier that had his entire left side blown off?
No, that's awful.
He's all right.
He's all right. He's all I got it. It took me a minute. I got it.
I got one. Hope told me that. How sweet is this? A young lady who's listened to the program for a number of years has now moved to the Atlanta area. This was, I'm guessing, Hope, maybe 20s, like early 20s. She contacted us. Now, this is, I'm sharing this to encourage you, not to suggest you should do likewise, although you can. But she contacted us and said, how can I help? And so Jason plugged her into the John Kratz event that we did when he delivered those lectures, because we need help with hospitality, because people come to them. We sit in the studio for 2 days and we record stuff. And so you need stuff there and you need things taken care of. And she just volunteered. She's young. Let that be an encouragement to you. Thank you for that, Hope. And thank you for that. Oh, dad joke.
She loves dad jokes.
Did you talk to her?
No, I have not, but now I'm going to.
She does love dad jokes. She told me another one. I can't remember what it was, but it was, I'd like to meet her father. That's what I'd like to do. How in the world does a 20-some-year-old learn to like dad jokes?
So this question, next question, could be for me and Hope both. It's from Anonymous. Todd, how should a Christian repent?
That's it?
That's it. Not of dad jokes, just in general.
Let's take a look and see what the word means. The transliteration is to change mind. Well, what is your mind? Well, that's what Dr. Greg Gifford's next book is about. It is, I'm telling you, this thing could be so big, because it differentiates between the mind and the brain, that your brain is a physical organ, no different than your kidney. It isn't you. You wouldn't say that you're your spleen. No, you're you. It's your mind. It's the inner man versus the outer man. Greg Gifford's book, I think, is just going to be so helpful, so that people can determine, do I need medication that alters my brain when it's actually a mind issue? So what is your mind? Who are you? Who? You're not just intellect. You're not just emotions. You're not just will. You're not affections. You're all of those things. The totality of you encompasses all of those aspects. So when the Bible says to change mind, it's saying you got to change all of you. It's not just assenting to some biblical facts. All right? I've changed my mind. I believe the Bible is true. Jesus rose from the grave. Okay, I repented. No, you didn't. Because you did not have your will and your emotions affected. It means to change everything. So what does it look like to repent? Well, I think it's similar and different before you get saved and after. When you repent, when you believe unto Jesus Christ, turning from your sins, saying to the Lord, I am sorry, agreeing with him totally, I have been wicked. I deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. I don't want those sins anymore. I want you. Save me. That's repentance unto salvation. It's dying to self. I don't want any of that. I want you instead. That's why I think repentance and faith, simultaneous, two sides of the same coin. Now you get saved. Should you keep on repenting? Yes. So do I get saved again? No, not for salvation, but I would say for relation, that you would get saved because when there is sin between you and somebody with whom you have a relationship, it affects it. And so repentance upon conversion, after conversion, think of it as foot washing. Think of it as foot washing, that you don't need to get your whole body washed, just your feet. You've been washed when you repented and believed the first time, and then after you've sinned as a believer, and you're going to sin daily as a believer, what do? You go to him, you agree with him, you confess, you apologize. You turn from your sins, and he cleanses you at the foot level. That's repentance once you're a believer. And Jimmy, so it's not for salvation, it's for relation. What was the thing that you memed or tweeted yesterday that was kind of sing-songy like that?
Something about
the president.
Yeah. I said when Jesus saves a believer, he doesn't just merely become a resident, he becomes president.
Boom!
Yeah.
Boom! Mic drop meme. He doesn't become resident, he becomes the president.
That's right.
He doesn't become a thing, he becomes the king.
Oh, that's good.
You can use that, please.
Okay.
Please use that.
Because you're not going
to. Good luck with that. Idea at wretched.org.
All right, this is a text from Peter. Todd, should we consider how we distinguish between missionaries and evangelists, or should there be a distinction at all?
Well, missionary I think evangelists should also be sent. Missio, to send, that's a missionary. But I think that we typically think that missionaries go abroad, or they go to a place that is not their home. So I believe that both missionaries and evangelists should be sent, typically from their local church. That's the pattern that we see in the Bible. They're sent, or they're called. And I think that that should be true for an evangelist also, that you are sent to do that task from the church. But I think a missionary is one who goes a long distance, and hopefully to do that missionary work where? In the context of a local church. If a mission isn't connected to a local church, I would encourage you to think long and hard about spending time and energy pursuing it. It's got to be connected to the local church. Gots to. Because you can go overseas. And this is the one thing that I lament about going to campuses to witness to kids. I can't say, now come to my church. You need to be a part of a body of believers. Drives me bonkers, because that's what people need. And if you're a missionary in Timbuktu and you're not connected to a church, where are they going to go? You want to lead them to a safe place. And if you're not connected to a safe place, I'm not sure that that's the best way to use your energy or your money. 877-282-2337.
And this is from James. Todd, with all the variation or versions of the Bible, which version is the most accurate and in line with God's words?
There's a number of them that I think that you could say these are on point. And there's going to be discrepancies between them. But the more formal equivalence that I think you can rely on would be NASB. That happens to be my favorite. If you're an ESVer, I say rock on. I'm just so familiar with the NASB. It would be like betraying an old friend. But the English Standard Version is also good. The Legacy Standard Bible is good. And then I think you still have some formal equivalents like the New King James Version. But remember, you're dealing with different manuscripts there, so there's going to be some differences. But the NKJV is a more formal equivalent. Any of those would do the trick. That would be more word-for-word translations. You want one of those. It's swell. If you want to get a functional equivalent that is more of a paraphrase of things, not message-like paraphrase, but just more easy to grasp and understand, I think you should have both, especially if you're a new believer. So get yourself an NIV, get yourself an NLT, put that on the left side, and then on the right side, put an NASB, ESV, Legacy Standard Bible, or New King James Version, and just ping pong back and forth, and you will grow. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, the other day I was talking to a friend of mine about how a single spark can start an entire wildfire. And it got me to thinking about you, our listeners. Each one of you is like that spark. You have the potential to ignite a blaze of the gospel. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, that's a great analogy, Jimmy. Yeah, not so much. But here's the thing. We've been fanning those gospel flames together for a while now, and it's been absolutely incredible. But imagine what we could do if we joined forces even more. That's what becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner is like. It's like adding fuel to the fire, and suddenly that spark becomes this roaring blaze. Yeah, I'm not going to let it go. That reaches millions with the life-changing message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you say? Are you ready to turn up the heat? Told you I'm not going to let it go on this gospel mission. Just visit wretched.org/donate and get answers to any questions you could possibly have. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful. Ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
We all know life is tough sometimes, right? We all deal with stuff, stress, worry, depression. It's just a part of being human. But what if there was a way to look at these struggles differently? Well, that's what Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford is all about. It's not your usual radio show. No, Dr. Gifford talks about real issues, you know, the kind we all face. And he doesn't just talk about them, he brings biblical clarity to them. So whether you're dealing with anxiety or feelings of loneliness, or you're just trying to figure things out, I highly recommend Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's not about quick fixes or empty promises. It's just honest talk about life and how to navigate it biblically. If you're curious, why not give it a try? Give it a listen right now. New episodes come out every Saturday morning. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or transformed.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. From brokenness to wholeness.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes, Jimmy, there's a difference. This is Wretched Radio. Go ahead with your little correction about the NASB.
I just asked if it's worth making the distinction between the NASB 95 and 20 version.
You're so toxic.
No,
I don't have the space for these. I'm wounded by your words. You're dangerous
to me.
Yeah, there's a big difference between 95. Was it 2020 that they came out with? Yeah, I wish they hadn't done that. The 95 was just fine. Thank you very much. They just made some editorial decisions that I don't think are, I think they went backwards. So if you're going to do the NASB, I encourage 1995 translation, versus the 2020. Happy now?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, how do I get back on track with God? I feel so far from him because I'm angry with his providence. All the bad things that happen to me make me feel like God is out to get me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would start with that question we talked about a few moments ago. Repent. Repent. You don't want to be mad at God. You do not want to trifle with the King. You have no right to be mad at God. Start there. Then I would encourage you to study him. Read through the Bible and see his goodness. It is on every single page of the Bible. It's just, I think for those of us who are conservative, so often we read the Bible looking for facts or like a new nugget, a new piece of information that we can store up there. But if we overlook the goodness of God on every single page, well, then when bad things happen, we're going to start to wonder, where is this good God? But when you've saturated your brain with the goodness of God, it's much more difficult to start to get sour. So I would say, one, repent. Two, study the goodness of God. Three, I would also encourage you to study a particular doctrine, sovereignty. And coupled with sovereignty, because I don't think you should ever uncouple a study of sovereignty with the goodness of God, you study all of those attributes of God in the totality, understanding the purpose for God's planet and that you're a part of it. If your life is just such a stinker right now, it's like, what? God is not unaware. This is currently the place that he has called you to. And you say, I hate it. Well, let me hopefully share something that will moderate that disdain. God wants you where you are for his purposes, for his goal, for his desire for himself. You need to know that so that you can say, all right, Lord, I am not really enjoying this season of my life, but I know that everything is under your control. So help me to know what's my assignment here. What do you need me to do? Or how do you want to change me? Because nothing happens to Christians. Everything happens for Christians. If you are in Christ, God is for you. Jesus prays for you. Jesus died for you. He's not against you. He's not your enemy. He's not stingy. He's not selfish. He is good and he's sovereign. You study him and your tune will change. And you'll start to see what he's doing more and more. And even when you can't quite figure it out, because you know that God is good, he is able, and he is faithful, you will be able to recline, lean into him, fall back into his strong arms. You will be able to rest, even when it maybe isn't the most delightful season you can know. Nevertheless, God's got me here. I've been sent by the King to this place in this circumstance to accomplish his will. Therefore, it is well with my soul. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I have a friend who has regrets about his marriage that he's working through. When his wife asks him if he has regrets, he assures her that he does not. Is it loving for him to never share these thoughts with his spouse, or would it be loving to be truthful?
You have to, discretion isn't a sin. Now, lying is, but discretion isn't. We don't have to share everything that we know. We can sometimes keep something behind our closed lips. That's called wisdom. So what's the difference? How do I know when I get to exercise that? I think probably the guiding question is, will this edify or will it tear down? Will I be building up or will I be destroying? Ephesians 4. Now, Greg Giffert was talking about this week in his Transform podcast. There's put off, put on. So let's just say you've got a mouth that is, you lie, you're a liar, you use your mouth to deceive. You put it off, you stop lying. But that's not the end of the call for the Christian. Now you put on. What do you put on? You put on words of edification and you speak words of truth rather than tearing down. Now you build up. That's put off, put on. So if the information that you have in your brain, the emotions that you're currently dealing with, which may or may not be sinful, that's a different discussion. You can determine, will I share this and build up or will it tear down? And I think that will guide your discretion. Now, what do you do when she asks a point blank question like that? I don't think you're lying to say, you know what, sweetie, that is such a good question. That is such a good question. And now you could perhaps share some of it, but not all of it. You know, I have to confess, because I'm such a sinner, there are just some times when I just have bad thoughts, but that's on me. It's not on you. So you could be answering it truthfully without hopefully scalding. Use discretion, but then I would encourage you to really put your efforts toward fixing what's busted. I thought, Jimmy, read the first sentence again. Caught my attention.
I have a friend that has regrets about his marriage.
Right there. You did not marry the wrong woman. There it is. Sovereignty again. Oh, I wish I had done something else. Apparently God doesn't, because you didn't. Therefore, he ordained that. You say, this is hard. I say, you've got a mission field. You say, I'm not happy. I say, perhaps you need to look and ask yourself the question, why aren't you finding your happiness and satisfaction in your God? Why are you not willing to die for yourself, to yourself, and live for the other? So don't think for a second you've married the wrong person. You didn't. I mean, if you married the wrong person and you had children, you've got the wrong children. Does that feel right to you? You go, well, no, they're my kids. Exactly. And it's your wife. If you married somebody, that is the spouse God wanted you to marry. She's such a shrew. We don't have any fun together. And what exactly does that have to do with marriage? God has you on assignment. If your spouse has deficiencies, if your spouse has sins, how would you treat your own flesh? If you were caught in a trap, man, and you couldn't walk out, what would you just, what, lie there and languish and die? No, you'd do everything to get out of the trap. So when you see your spouse ensnared in sin, Galatians 6, get them out. Help them. Serve them. Figure out what they need so that they're not caught in sin. Marriage is about sanctification, not personal satisfaction. Hey, that was pretty good right there, Jimmy.
Yeah, I just wrote it down.
You can take that one along with your resident president business.
Hey, that was good.
You didn't marry the wrong person. Don't have regrets. If you sinned somehow in that process, what should you do? You married sinfully. You were selfish. You didn't listen to wisdom. Wait, repent. You're forgiven. Now jump in head first and start serving and loving and warming the marriage. I hate to say this, gentlemen, because look, I get it. There are plenty of women who can make life difficult, just like men can make life difficult for a woman. But here's the reality. Whatever the temperature is in your house, you're the thermostat. You're the one who determines, is it warm in here? Is it chilly? How is your garden growing, farmer? You're the husbandman. How is your crop? If the crops are languishing, you can't blame anything. Well, we didn't get enough rain. Yeah, you're the farmer. Deal with it. Then you carry buckets of water to water the crop. You do what's got to be done to tend to your garden. And the same thing is true for us, sir. And I get it. You maybe hear this and you're thinking, well, that's unfair because she's not nice. She's mean. She's got all kinds of... Yes, true. Your job is to fix it. You got weeds in your garden? Deal with them. Pull them out. Replace them. Plant good seed. Churn up the soil. Do what it takes. So if you're regretting your marriage, I'm talking to you, sir, not to you ladies. I'm talking to you, sir. You gotta figure out how to change it. You do. And you probably need help. And the best place to get that help is if you are a serving member of a local church. There are guys there who will help you and show you and teach you and encourage you. Sir, if you regret your marriage, I'm afraid That's not on her. That's on you. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.